This is KGNU's Morning Magazine for Wednesday, February 16th of 2022. I'm your host, Shannon Young. Thank you for joining us here on listener-supported community radio. Coming up on today's program, we'll have a Colorado author in the studio with us today, ahead of her presentation tomorrow at the Boulder Bookstore. Vamos a explorar los senderos de Boulder County with Latino families who formed a group during the pandemic to go on weekly walks on local trails. As always on Wednesday morning, we'll have Chris Moore's commentary, Make Them Hear You, and then herbalist Brigitte Mars will bring us her regular Wednesday feature, Naturally. A BBC update is at the bottom of the hour, and then it's the Hightower Lowdown, followed by Kim Mooney's quarterly call-in program on death and dying. Then at 9:30, Ginger Perry will be in the Boulder studio to bring you 2.5 hours of eclectic music with the Morning Sound Alternative. All that's still ahead this morning, but stay tuned to these headlines with KGNU's Jamie Sudler.
Both the Boulder Valley and St. Vrain Valley school districts said yesterday that they will lift masking requirements inside schools after Friday. Relaxation of the mask mandate comes after the Boulder County Health Department unanimously agreed to pull back indoor masking orders on Friday at 5 p.m. for public settings, including schools and child care centers. Other districts have lifted their masking orders for schools. Jeffco has already done so, and Denver schools will do the same at the end of the month. However, because of federal law, masks will still be required on school buses and in all districts. However, officials at the University of Colorado Boulder will continue masking requirements on its campuses. CU Boulder announced that it will consult with Boulder County Health and could consider making masking optional indoors if there's progress on required vaccination boosters and fewer community infections. Boulder County officials announced yesterday that financial assistance has been expanded to include homeowners and renters who are displaced by smoke or ash contamination from the Marshall Fire. People need to apply with the county for the funds, and if qualified, could receive up to $2,500 for a household of one or two people, or $5,000 for three or more. Applications can be submitted online at boco.org/Marshall Fire Assistance. A pending bill at the state legislature would change what is being called a very confusing and outdated sexual assault law. The measure came out of committee yesterday. The Denver Post reports that as it's written now, the felony rape statute does not include the word consent and is not clear. Sponsors propose changing the language so that someone would commit sexual assault if they cause sexual intrusion or penetration, knowing the victim does not consent. The sponsors say the change would cause less confusion by jurors. Also pending at the state capitol is a bill that would ban open carry of firearms in close proximity of polling places. The Denver Channel reports that the Vote Without Fear Act passed a committee test. However, members were split along party lines. The measure would prohibit someone from openly carrying a gun within 100 feet of drop-off ballot boxes, polling places, and vote counting centers. Another bill has been introduced to the legislature to make free school lunches possible for any student, regardless of economic background. The sponsors hope it would streamline the current complicated process that many have to go through to show they qualify. And they say it would also remove the stigma many face when they have a free or a reduced cost school lunch. Colorado Governor Jared Polis announced his bid yesterday for a second term. Polis, accompanied by Lieutenant Governor Diane Primavera, said that his agenda will include the high cost of living and crime. He cited his record in managing the response to the coronavirus, his efforts to hold down health care costs, and expand early childhood education. The Longmont City Council is moving forward to conduct a special election to fill a vacant seat in November. The Times Call reports that last night the council directed city staff to go forward with the November date despite earlier hopes that they could fill the vacancy by April 5th. The vacancy occurred as Councilmember Joan Peck was elected mayor. The Longmont Council now has 6 members instead of its usual 7. A lawsuit was filed yesterday against Governor Polis and other state officials claiming that the Colorado Corrections Department is violating the state's constitution against slavery and involuntary servitude. According to a release, the complaint alleges that prisoners are forced to work against their will under threat of punishment that includes social isolation and extended incarcerations. The prisoners also claimed that by paying only pennies per hour to a captive workforce, the state is violating Amendment A that was passed by voters and which prohibits slavery and involuntary servitude. Potentially thousands of prisoners have lost earned time, which pushes back their release dates and have been put in restrictive housing for opting out of work assignments. The plaintiffs in the case are not seeking money, but for an order preventing the state from continuing to compel their labor. Officials in Douglas County said yesterday that they have received a request to release the names of teachers and staff who did not work on a day of protest earlier this month. More than 1,000 teachers and other staff staged a sick-out on February 3rd in support of Superintendent Corey Wise, who was fired by the board in a contentious meeting about a day later. Nine News reports that the Douglas County School Board notified employees of the request for their names and said the list will be made public today. It's currently unknown who made the request for the names of the district employees who participated in that protest. A winter storm warning is in effect for the entire Denver metro area, including Boulder and Fort Collins, from this afternoon through tomorrow morning. Snow is expected in Boulder around 11 this morning with a daytime accumulation of 2 to 4 inches. The snow will start a bit later in Denver with accumulation up to 3 inches today. Tonight, the snow will be heavy at times with new accumulation of 3 to 7 inches in Boulder and up to 5 inches in Denver. The high today will be about 36 and the low overnight about 13. Tomorrow, sunny skies with highs in the mid-30s. Right now, it's about 28 along the Front Range. For KGNU, I'm Jamie Sudler.
You are listening to The Morning Magazine on KGNU. I'm joined in the studio this morning by Colorado author Heather Mateus Sappenfield. She'll be presenting her new book, The River Between Hearts, tomorrow evening at the Boulder Bookstore. Good morning, and thanks for coming into the Boulder studio this morning, driving all the way from Vail, no less.
Oh, I'm glad to be here, Shannon. Thank you.
So start off by telling us about your book.
Well, it is marketed as a middle grade novel, but I am calling it a read for all ages and a read for our times. And it is based upon some things I saw when I was teaching in the Vail Valley in the late 90s. I would have new students arrive in the classroom that I knew were new to America. And you don't ask questions when you're a teacher. You're there just there to teach the people and that show up in your class. But some mornings I would come into the school and they would be gathered in the lobby consoling each other and crying because some of family members or parents had been deported the night before. And regardless of your politics, just watching those young people with no documentation and no family here, that's scary. And it stuck with me as an author. I knew someday that would be something that I would explore. And so this book delves into that, but it came to me at the middle grade level with an almost 11-year-old girl. And she is showed up to tell the story of marching along the banks of a creek, angry because she'd had her own loss, and she heads to her tree fort and finds a stowaway there.
And explain what you mean by middle grade novel.
So middle grade is marketed because of the narrator specifically for ages 8 through 14. But it is definitely a read for all ages.
And you did beat me to the punch with one of my questions because this book gave me big like school teacher vibes. And so I was going to ask, like, have you ever taught elementary school? So I'm assuming that it was elementary school.
No,
level?
It was high school.
Oh.
But I've taught guest taught at elementary schools, middle schools, high school, college, all of it. I love teaching.
Well, and this book is obviously based in Colorado, but it never specifies where. In your mind, is it in a specific location?
No, and that's pretty purposeful. So it is actually partially a love song to the Vail Valley, where I have lived for over 30 years. And we are a complex valley, and we have so many visitors and tourists that come that aren't even aware of this other layer that's going on underneath. And so for me, it was about creating sort of a bridge and an awareness between those layers. The biggest thing that stuck with me after that experience that I knew that I would one day want to write about is the luxury of indifference that I had had. And how in that goes on in classrooms where in the Vail Valley, ask any public school teacher, and it's still going on now in 2020, but any resort town or probably any town or city in Colorado and the United States. So it's something that I wanted to explore in this book.
And there's a lot of also class indifference, right? There's a character in the book who her father owns this luxury hotel. She has a pony. And, you know, there's just, and the mother who had been deported, or it's never like really specified, at least up until the point where I'm almost at the end. But the mother of Perla works in the hotel.
Yes.
And Rill, the main character, it kind of like dawns on her. And it had never really clicked before, you know, that she had crossed paths with Perla's mom. Right?
Right, right. Just the way we move through this world without recognizing others around us as fellow people. And that's my main goal with this book, especially starting with younger readers, is to look around and say, hey, we're all people. We're all people. And, we don't have to be best friends, but let's view each other with compassion.
And I'm wondering, what, on that topic of compassion, what else are you attempting to just communicate to younger readers about these different realities?
I think more just being aware, younger readers, middle grade readers, especially, they're defining their world. That's their work. They define their world. And then as you get older into young adult, then all of a sudden the angst shows up and it says, oh, this is how the world is and how do I fit or not fit in it? So these younger readers are defining their world. And I'm hoping to just expand their view of the world so that it's more open and with kindness, not necessarily so closed. You know, kids can often get in their groups and be mean. You know, popularity becomes a big thing. And so I'm hoping that if we start young, we can start to open those eyes and create bridges between cultures and in all the ways that people are different.
Empathy and solidarity. Yeah. Heather Matea Sabinfield will present her book tomorrow evening at the Boulder Bookstore at
6:30. Yeah.
The event is free and open to the public. Heather, thank you for driving all the way from Vail.
Absolutely.
To join us on the Morning Magazine.
I had to come down here to get a winter storm.
Well, let's move right into the next story. Explorando Senderos, or Exploring Trails, is a group that formed during the pandemic to introduce Spanish-speaking families to the extensive trail system in Boulder County. The strategic plan for mountain parks and open space conducted focus groups on the trails to understand the barriers many Latino families face when it comes to using and enjoying those spaces. KGNU's Rosana Longo-Better joined a recent hike and spoke with event organizer Marina LaGrave about the program.
So my name is Marina LaGrave, and I am the CEO and founder of Colorado Language Access and Cultural Experts. Where we are right now, Rosana, is at the Mesa Trail. We started our hike today at NCAR. Explorando Senderos, it's a movement that started during the pandemic, when the disparities for the Latinx community became very evident for our community, and where most people during the pandemic were really taking the chance to enjoy the outdoors and find mental health and find solace in nature. So at the time I was working on the strategic plan for parks and open space, and I started during the pandemic to do some focus groups on the trails. Because we were looking at the barriers that the Latinx communities face when walking any trail or enjoying our open spaces in Boulder County. As per the family's request, we continue to commit every Saturday from 1 to 3 to enjoy a different trail. We're over a year old right now. We've walked up to 63 senderos to date, different senderos all the time. When you ask the families, including yourself, if they had ever been to this trail before, they had never been to any of the 62 trails that we have visited. So, you know, it really highlights the barriers that our county and our city have been unsuccessful in getting out of the way for us. I plan on the trails on a weekly basis. So I scout the trail. I check on the weather 3 days beforehand, so I can actually choose the perfect trail for the experience. So we bring all generations in our Latino families, from the grandmother to the baby. We explore the trails together. Our group is a Spanish-speaking group. We don't want the language to be a struggle or a power component for anybody. So everybody speaks Spanish on the trails, and when I'm asked if that's not, you know, discriminating other families, I always say that this is a space where we're making sure that the families are comfortable and happy and that they feel that they own the space.
What motivated you to start this group?
As most Latina women who immigrated to this country, I arrived in Boulder almost 30 years ago. And through the many challenges that I have experienced as a single mom, as a woman, woman that have to have many jobs, running the trails have always been where I find inspiration and the meaning of why I'm here. We live in a place where people from all over the world come to enjoy what we're enjoying here today. It was evident to me as 30 years of running these many trails that I never saw my community running along with me, and that had to change. And again, as I mentioned at the beginning, Rosanna, the pandemic made it evident that our families, I mean, the many women I talk with when I did a study for the county about the disparities on COVID and resources, we interviewed over 125 women. And I could say that all of them were really under the weather, feeling alienated, depressed. They were really going nuts. Imagine a whole year without a lot of our families, migrant families. They don't live in a big homes, but in small spaces where all they know is the little community garden or the community playground where the kids would play. And then look at this. This is our backyard. But it is intimidating to think that you could make it here by yourself. And so many of our families have never been to places like this. I really invite you to interview the families that are enjoying today, and they will tell you they've never been here. You yourself have never been here. And so, you know, this is equity at play. This is really giving access at play. We need to make sure when we talk about equity and diversity that we really look carefully about mental health and health overall, because we know that our Latinx families are really alienated. They work five jobs, I mean, to make meets end. This is a community that's under a lot of stress. So this is the best mental health partner that you could have. It's Mother Earth. I invite everybody, any Latina woman out there that has never really enjoyed the trails, to join us, to come and enjoy a piece of heaven in our backyard in Boulder County. We have challenged them to do snowmen. So we have little challenges every Saturday. 2 Saturdays ago, we did kite flying, and we had 15 kites on the air. And so we always find that time in nature. This is the laughter that we want to see in our moms and our children.
For KGNU, I am Rosanna Longobete.
On the next Alternative Radio, tune in for Malcolm X, The Ballot or the Bullet. That's Alternative Radio, Wednesday evenings at 6, right here on Community Radio, KGNU, Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins.
We go now to Chris Moore's weekly commentary, Make Them Hear You.
This is Make Them Hear You with ideas how you can have your voice heard before Congress. Almost everyone knows about insider trading thanks to movies like The Wolf of Wall Street or TV series like Billions. It's illegal for CEOs, for just about everyone but congresspeople. But Congress routinely engages in insider trading, the practice of making stock purchases and sales based on information not generally available to the public. In fact, over 50 congresspeople and over 200 staffers have engaged in insider trading in recent decades, collecting information from closed-door congressional hearings. With the Ukrainian crisis, Congress people could possibly engage in insider trading based on the secret information they have regarding the danger of war. And insider trading is immensely profitable. Warren Buffett has outperformed the stock market by 2.5% in the past couple decades. In that same period of time, senators have outperformed the stock market by 12.5%. And the insider superstar, Nancy Pelosi herself. People on TikTok carefully track her buys and sells more than any other congressperson and advises other people to ride her coattails. When asked about insider trading, she said she opposes any regulations on congresspeople, saying, "This is the free market." Technically, the Stock Act, enacted after congresspeople made obscene profits off the housing crash of 2008, made it illegal for congresspeople to engage in insider trading. But since Congress makes the law, their law provides a fine of $200 for people who literally make millions from insider trading. And it is almost impossible to prove, so no congressperson has ever had to pay so much as $200 for this corrupt practice. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Kevin McCarthy have actually joined forces to put some teeth into the next law they'd like to see. Since banning insider trading is not working, new laws would ban congressional stock trades altogether. One such bill is House Resolution 6490, Banning Insider Trading in Congress Act, submitted by Vicky Hartzler. Senator Joel Ossoff has put forth a similar bill. They would require all congresspeople to either divest or put all their stock investments into a blind trust while in office, with a fine equal to a year's salary for violators. This way, the Justice Department does not have to prove insider trading. They just have to prove that congresspeople were trading in stocks at all. As more and more people on both sides of the aisle and in both houses submit their own versions of these bills, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer has finally endorsed banning stock trading by congresspeople, giving additional momentum to bills being pushed by progressive Democrats and conservative Republicans alike. Quote, "We have different bills from a variety of different members, and I've asked our members to get together and try to come up with one bill, but I would like to see it done." Nancy Pelosi and a surprisingly high percentage of congresspeople are still not on board. We'll see how long she considers insider trading to be a part of the free market. If you have thoughts on H.R. 6490, Banning Insider Trading in Congress Act, then you can contact your senators or congressperson. This is Chris Moore with Make Them Hear You.
It's now time to check in with herbalist Brigitte Mars, who brings us her weekly episode of Naturally.
Greetings. Welcome to Naturally. This is Brigitte Mars. You know, a lot of us get tested for blood pressure, and you know, if your blood pressure is high, they call it hypertension, and it's really more of a symptom than a disease. But we do know that high blood pressure can make one more likely a candidate for stroke or heart attack, vision problems, kidney damage, and generally just make us feel more uptight and anxious. Symptoms of hypertension might include difficulty in breathing or dizziness, fatigue, heart palpitations, nosebleeds, or even numbness and tingling in the extremities. Well, we do know that our blood pressure is going to change moment to moment depending on what we eat and what we're thinking. So a really great practice is things that calm us down, like meditation, deep breathing, smelling lavender oil might be helpful. Everyone's looking for a quick fix, but if someone has high blood pressure, we do know that cutting back on caffeine and using better quality salt. Now, when you have a blood pressure reading, know that there's two numbers given, and the first number is called systolic. That's the amount of pressure inside the arteries during the pumping phase. And then the second number is called diastolic, and that's the amount of pressure during the resting phase. So a normal reading is considered 120 over 70, higher than 140 systolic and 90 diastolic are considered high. So we also have learned that readings done at home are often lower because some people just get a little anxious when they're being tested at a public place. Many people who want to use the supplement coenzyme Q10, it's an antioxidant that's really strengthening to the heart muscle. What are some foods that we can eat that can help strengthen and relax our heart? Well, garlic is a great one. Garlic, green leafy vegetables, onions. And of course, I hardly ever do a show where I don't talk about the wonders of herbs. So hawthorn, leaf, berry, and flower can all be used to normalize high blood pressure. They also strengthen the heart and break down cholesterol. And even a little bit of dark chocolate, that's good news, can help lower your blood pressure because of the flavonoid contents, which are antioxidant. So again, smelling some essential oils, finding practices that help to relax you. Visualization, deep breathing. You've got this. Less caffeine. Thanks for joining me, Brigitte Mars, on Naturally.
That's all the time we have for today's Morning Magazine. Special thanks to Jamie Sudler, author Heather Matea-Sappenfield, Rosanna Longo-Better, Chris Moore, and Brigitte Mars for their contributions to today's program. I've been your host, Shannon Young. If you'd like to make a comment on something you heard on KGNU, you can leave us a voicemail at our listener comment line. The number is 303-447-9911. We play those messages back on Tuesday mornings. Stay tuned for Kim Mooney's quarterly call-in program on death and dying. There will also be a Jim Hightower commentary coming up just after these news headlines from the BBC.